5 o'clock hour of the Burns and Gambo show, and I'll be honest with you, we came into today knowing something like this could happen. Didn't know for sure it was going to happen, but I think as we started to map out the show, it was pretty obvious through the comments of Archie Bradley and what Gambo was kind of hearing off the record and off the cuff was that it was something that was a possibility, and it happened. We got the Diamondbacks and the Rockies were supposed to play at about 3:10, and about 2:45, 2:50 was when we got word that that game was not going to happen.
So a lot of normal stuff that was going on, right? So the Diamondbacks had taken batting practice. They had taken batting practice. They were on the field. The Rockies in a getaway game. They don't take batting practice on a getaway day, the team that's here. But, the teams were on the field. Everything seemed to be normal, except for the kind of the stuff we had heard with Archie that gave us some pause as to what was going on. I checked, with people, and it seemed like, they haven't met yet, and we expect to play and all of that stuff, but things could change. An hour and a half before the game, everything seemed to be okay. 45 minutes before the game, okay, everything seems to be okay. And then I got word that the Rockies, didn't want to play. Tweeted that out on my Twitter account, Gambo987. And then I got word that they're packing their bags. Mm-hmm. The Rockies are packing up their gear. So we talked about that. I put that out again, that they were packing up their gear. And then a few minutes after that, Fox Sports Arizona went to a shot of the field, which showed the Rockies packing up their gear, getting ready to leave. At that point, we knew that there definitely was not going to be a baseball game.
We were just waiting for an official announcement at that point, and we got one. Again, the game was supposed to start at 3:10. I think we officially heard word at about 3:20 or 3:25. But by then, it was patently obvious exactly what was happening. Almost immediately after the game was officially canceled and the D-backs and the Rockies didn't play, Archie Bradley, John Jay, met with the media and talked about why this game didn't happen today. Here's John Jay on from his perspective how and why things went down the way they did.
Yeah, it's been a long day, a long couple of days with everything that's been going on. But we met as a group and we kind of discussed a couple of different scenarios. But the big thing for us was just talking about and bringing up things that have to change. There's things that aren't right going on right now, and that's the big message. But as a group, we were all on board. And we're planning on, making a donation to a cause as a group. And, that's just one of the ways that we want to, kind of help out with everything that's going on right now. But, we support the Rockies today and not playing and kind of our brothers and sisters in other sports. So we're here to support the cause that's going on right now.
And I think just in that comment alone right there, we support the Rockies in not playing today.
Shows you that it was the Rockies that didn't want
to play.
Shows
you that where the genesis of this idea was, sure,
yeah,
where the origination of it
was. Well, the Diamondbacks were looking for a way to play, but then also to make a statement. And so they wanted to make a donation. Each player would donate their game check to the Players Alliance, which advances the cause of young black athletes. So they felt, here's a way we could play a game and do some good. And I applaud the Diamondbacks for that. I think whoever came up with that idea, that was a great idea. We're going to play baseball, so we're not going to take away from playing baseball and giving the fans the enjoyment and us, we'll play. But we'll do something. We'll make a donation to the Players Alliance. That's what they wanted to do. As you alluded to, the Rockies didn't want to play because they felt bad that they played yesterday.
Well, they said as much. Here's Nolan Arenado. Quote, "We felt we missed it yesterday by playing, and we wanted to stand by our brother Matthew Kemp in the black community." Close quote. Trevor Story said there was regret in the clubhouse for playing last night. Quote, "Maybe we missed our opportunity last night, but we did it tonight." You mentioned the donation. Archie Bradley talked about that donation when he met with the media after the game was canceled.
Obviously, I spoke to you guys before and told you guys we were going to have a meeting as a team, and the Rockies did the same. And, we kind of relied on each other. This is a moment about being together, about being in unison, and that's what today's about. It's about supporting a decision to not play, to bring about awareness to issues that we think are going on. As JJ said, we decided as a group, we were prepared to play, but we were also ready to not play as well. And one of the things we decided on was whether to play or not today, we were going to come together as a team, as Diamondbacks players, and donate a game check from each of us to a group that we're deciding upon. We've talked about the Players Alliance and what they've been doing, but as part of, sitting out or not sitting out, we decided as a group that regardless, we are going to make a donation from us, the players, to an organization that's making an active impact in this situation.
And that was the donation.
The Players Alliance.
About. The Players Alliance.
It's going to be to the Players Alliance. Yep.
But Archie went on to clarify, and even though it's fairly obvious where this idea originated from, Archie wanted to make it clear this was a joint decision with the Rockies. We stand behind the Rockies. We stand with the Rockies on this one.
It's a joint decision. We're in this together. We both had active conversations with our teams, and then we spoke together with other players from the Rockies as well. And it was a joint decision. The Rockies can say they decided, we support them, they support us. But ultimately, this is a unified decision between not only two groups, but I think league-wide. You're seeing other teams do it. Other teams did it yesterday. And, you know, we talked about it. What message does not playing send? Is that the right thing to do, to play or not to play? But ultimately, it was a joint decision. It was an emotional talk. There was a lot of conversations and things brought up today between both sides that, as I said earlier, you know, I think are tough conversations. They're awkward. They're uncomfortable, but they're pushing the needle in the right direction and causing people to have to open their minds and be aware with what's going on. And ultimately, it's the thing that sports are not bigger than what's going on. We've been given this platform. You know, we're doing all these things, but ultimately we have a chance to actually make an impact and bring awareness and change to what's going on.
Does it make an impact? Does it bring change? Does it, what message does it send? I mean, that's, you know, to each person, it's probably different, you know, to everybody. I mean, the players in the bubble, they all had a way to express themselves with their shirts and their jerseys. Mm-hmm. And then they felt like, okay, that's not enough, you know, but, you know, these players feel stronger now and feel like they have more power now to have their voices heard than at any time ever before in history. This is their time. This is they will. Hey, listen, we're going to lose money. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We're going to lose money. It doesn't matter. Sure. TV ratings are down 40% in the NBA. To them, this is their chance,
yep,
to be heard, to be spoken, and to have people hear them. And they do. They feel. You know, I don't know that this would have happened 5 years ago or 10 years ago or 20 years ago. But today in 2020?
Well, I think it's pretty obvious that 4 years ago with Colin Kaepernick, I mean, it tried to happen. It started to happen.
And it got shut down very quickly.
And it got shut down pretty quickly, yeah. Right? I mean, it was met with such resistance and with such vitriol that it didn't last very long. And it was pointed out by more than one person that yesterday was the four-year anniversary of the first day that Colin Kaepernick decided to take a knee. I don't know if it was designed that way, but that's how it worked out. And so now you're absolutely right. Players have far greater a vision of what their power is and how they can affect this. And
whether they can or not is yet to be determined. We don't know whether they can affect it or not. We don't know what kind of effect it will have.
I don't know, but I do know this. What they have done in the last 27 hours now has been the most talked about story in America.
Yep.
There's no real denying that either.
And in some cases
the argument could be made that was enough. I mean, just the
so,
power
but does
that
it
they
stop
demonstrated.
There?
I don't know.
I've thought about this. Like, okay, they're taking a stand on this issue now. Are there other issues that are going to come up that you're going to want to take a stand for? Hey, listen, I don't like this, or I don't like that, or hey, let's get, you know, is this a one time we're going to take a stand on this issue, or is it something that, you know, hey, listen, this worked. Look, you know, we can not play games, and we can demand change on other things. I mean, I'm curious to see. I wonder if we'll ever, and I don't know the answer to this.
I don't know either.
I wonder if we'll ever get back to what we viewed as a normal sports season.
I suspect no, that we won't. That the times they are changing, and the times they have changed, and the one thing that we've seen, right or wrong, good or bad, from the NBA and from Major League Baseball, and maybe we'll see it with the NFL in a couple of weeks, is that they understand that not everybody likes what they're doing. They understand that they're turning some people off with what they're doing, and they're doing it anyway. They're doing it anyway because they've got that much conviction in what it is that they are doing, and the consequences of what they're doing are ones that they are more than willing and happy and prepared to make, you know, and to take, and to understand that there will be fallout from this, and they're moving forward. They're still doing it. And because they've, like you say, they've got power now, and yeah, they're using it in ways that they...
And how many fans, and listen, let's not deny this, but there are many, many fans, sure, that are turned off by their sports becoming political.
But that's my point, is yeah, that they know that, and yet they're doing it anyway.
Right. There are ramifications that to that, right? The ratings are down 40%. How does that affect the next TV contract? How does that affect the salary cap? You know, all of these things, you know, we don't know. We don't know the answer to these yet.
So when we come back on the Burns and Gambo show here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, Torrey Lovello, you heard about how the postponement decision was made by the D-backs and the Rockies. What about from Torrey's perspective? How did today play out from where he sits? You'll hear from the manager coming up here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Here is the official statement from the Diamondbacks, was just released moments ago. Zach Buchanan tweeted this out. He covers the team for The Athletic. Quote, "Our players were prepared to play today's game against the Colorado Rockies. After team meetings regarding plans to voice their support of social justice and equality, the decision was made to wear our black jerseys and make donations to causes that defend that mission. The Rockies then notified us of their decision to not play in the contest. We are confident the execution of our plan would have represented our support of complete and total equity while providing impact and driving awareness of this ongoing organizational priority." That's all I've got so far.
Okay, well, that basically goes back to say, you know, everything that we
we
had talked about.
Play.
They were ready to play. They
were
ready to make a donation.
Was a good one. Yep. We were prepared to play, and we decided not to, or they decided not to, and that was the statement that was released by the Diamondbacks moment ago. Robert Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, just issued the following statement moments ago. Quote, "Over the past 2 days, players on a number of clubs have decided not to play games. I have said both publicly and privately that I respect those decisions and support the need to address social injustice. I have not attempted in any way to prevent players from expressing themselves by not playing, nor have I suggested any alternative form of protest to any club personnel or any player. Any suggestion to the contrary is wrong," close quote. There was a story that was out about the Mets and a suggestion that Manfred made to the Mets about how to protest and yet still play the game at the same time, and that apparently names were, you know, being called. Rob Manfred was being called names by those from the Mets because he had made such a suggestion. He released that statement today. So
yeah, it was Brody. What's his name? Brody Wagnon. He got a hot mic on.
Yeah.
And he didn't realize it.
And he ripped the commissioner for an idea that the commissioner had for how to still play and yet still protest at the same time. So the D-backs statement, yeah, it says a lot of what we've been saying. The Diamondbacks were, and it's a lot of what Torrey said today. From Torrey Lovello's perspective, here's the timeline of how the decision to not play the game between the D-backs and the Rockies went down.
Archie, who is one of the leaders on this team, one of the emotional leaders on the team, said that he wanted to get the players together to just make sure that he was giving everybody an outlet to express themselves. And from that meeting, when I came in from batting practice, I noticed that there was a closed door players only meeting. And from that meeting, I think our players decided to play the game, but they were going to donate a day's worth of their salary to the Players Alliance and wear the black jerseys. And that's where the conversation for the day kind of ended, for me. And then, you know, I got a phone call from Bud Black about an hour before the game. And he was just giving me a heads up that his players were inside of their clubhouse, having ongoing conversations. I don't know what they were about, but he just wanted to give me a heads up that there was a chance that we were going to potentially be postponed. And, you know, what I said to him at that point, I laid out what our decision was, explained to him that if they decided to play, that the Diamondbacks would support, if they decided not to play, the Diamondbacks would support that.
And that's exactly what happened. We decided, here's Tori Lovello again, we decided to support the Rockies and what they decided to do.
We decided that, you know, once the Rockies, if the Rockies were going to make the decision not to play, that we were going to support their decision to not play the game. So, I mean, there's obviously a timeline here. I'm telling you one half of the timeline that took place. But I know what happened inside of our clubhouse, and I was proud of our guys for that.
A couple of quotes here. This is from Nolan Arenado to Pedro Gomez. Quote, "We felt we missed it yesterday by playing, and we wanted to stand by our brother Matthew Kemp in the black community," close quote. Trevor Story says there was regret in their clubhouse for playing last night. Bob Nightingale, quote, "Maybe we missed our opportunity last night, but we did it tonight," close quote. That's what Trevor Story had to say. So, look, it's very obvious how this all went down. Diamondbacks were ready to play. They were ready to wear the black jerseys. They were ready to make a donation to this charitable organization, which from what I understand, they're still going to make, even though the game didn't happen. And they got a call from the Rockies, and the Rockies were the ones who initiated the decision not to play. And once they do that, once the Rockies call the Diamondbacks and say, "We're not comfortable with playing this game," the decision is basically, there's nothing else to do. I mean, it takes two to tango, as the cliche goes, and it's applicable here. Once the Rockies decide they're not going to play, there's no game to be played. There's you're not going to try to talk them out of it. You're not going to try to convince them otherwise. You don't play the game.
Yeah.
And you support your guys,
sure,
because unity is important when it comes to something like this.
That's the only question I have on that. Ben, do you really have to take it up to like 5 minutes before the game was going to start? Could they have just decided? Could the Rockies have felt bad and talked about it last night or early this morning and said, "Hey, just alert everybody, we're not going to play"? I mean, they went to the field. Fans would have been there. That would have been another issue, right? If you got 30,000 fans and they have to leave. And
see, now so that's a really interesting take on all of this.
I think it still would have happened.
Well, because we all understand.
But then you talk about ticket refunds and anger and an angry fans.
All of these protests, all of these boycotts are happening in a fanless environment, right? In an environment where you don't have to worry about that variable. You don't have to worry about that element of it.
You don't got to worry about for those people waiting for you to pull out of your – when you pull out of the parking lot.
Well, just don't have to – that's just not a factor in this equation.
You make a fan go down there, make a fan pay for parking, buy some food, buy a souvenir, and then you sit down and watch the game and there's no game.
Yeah.
So it's easier to do it now. I mean, it is easier to do it now. It's much harder to do it when there's 30,000 people in the stand or 20,000 people in the stands because you're going to piss off a lot of people. Listen, they if they feel like they need to make their statement, they do. That's why I would have said if there were fans, this decision probably would have been a lot sooner.
Yes.
It probably would have been in the morning to make sure that people, you know,
out of respect for them and the money they're about to spend.
We have to respect those fans.
No doubt.
The bottom line is still the fans are paying their salaries.
Yeah,
the fans that support the product still pay for it.
But to your point, in this environment where we stand now, I don't know if it would have made much of a difference if it made this decision 3 hours before or 3 minutes before. You know, I mean, there's no one. Who are they inconveniencing? The guys at Fox Sports Arizona? Okay, they'll get over it. You know, the fans who are expecting to watch a baseball game? Okay, but
home.
They're home. You know, they're not at. They didn't drive down to a ballpark only to turn around and have to go home. I just think that all these decisions have been made around baseball today. Not every single one. What the Mets and Marlins did was pretty coordinated. That was pretty – you talk about a sign of unity, but you know, taking the field, 42 seconds of silence between the two teams to honor Jackie Robinson, and then walking off the field in unity and leaving a Black Lives Matter T-shirt at home plate. Okay, that's not one team imposing their will on another team. That's two teams getting together and saying, we're going to do something big and bold and really make a statement. But in most of the other cases, it does seem like it was sort of one team saying, we're not really sure we want to play, and the other team going, okay, if you don't want to play, then we're not going to play, and we support you.
You said the Rays-Orioles games, somebody on the Rays said no comments.
The Rays general manager.
The GM, okay.
Kevin Cash won't comment on which team led to the postponement of tonight's Rays-Orioles game. Quote, I don't think it's best to comment on it.
Which means
it was the Orioles.
Yeah.
The Rangers did the same thing when their game against the A's got canceled. They made it very clear in their statement it was the A's idea, that they supported it, but that it came from the A's and they wanted to do it. And all you can do if you're the Diamondbacks or the Rangers or the Rays is support the team that made that choice. Stand side by side with them and say, we stand with you. We are in unity with you, because that's what the sport wants to project right now, is that they are all in this together and that players will back players when they want to make statements like this.
You know, I said yesterday, and I think I even tweeted it out, that there was people that were very angry at the Bucks for not letting everybody in on what was going on.
Yes.
And
Kyle Korver apologized for it.
He apologized for it today. Yeah, I put that out there yesterday, and it was a lot of reaction to it, just a ton of reaction to that. But today, Kyle Korver, because, those teams were left, one person told me the Lakers and Clippers had to clean it up. You know, there was a feeling like, hey, you kind of hung us out to dry by not at least letting us know what your plans were.
The Bucks kind of sprung
that on everybody. Oklahoma City and Houston were there. Like, they were at the arena getting ready to play.
Yeah. Coming up on the Burns and Gambo show, the postponements around the world of sports all started yesterday with the Milwaukee Bucks, as Gambo just mentioned. So when we come back, what is the very latest in terms of what the NBA is planning to do and when they might resume play? All of this started yesterday, 27 hours ago, 28 hours ago, give or take, when the Milwaukee Bucks decided not to take the court against the Orlando Magic in that series, 3-1. And what you were talking about a second ago really resonated last night in this players-only meeting. Oh, actually, it wasn't players-only. There were coaches there. There were referees there, too. But Kyle Korver of the Bucks felt compelled to apologize to the rest, to the point where Jaylen Brown of the Celtics said, man, you guys got nothing to apologize for. You're fine. But Kyle Korver kind of felt like he did, because one of the things that was really, really clear to come out of last night's meeting was that a lot of teams around the league, many of the players around the league, kind of felt like the Bucks kind of did him dirty a little bit by not telling anybody what they were doing, by not coordinating what they were doing, by going off on their own and making a solitary decision without being unified for the rest of the league. And there was a lot of palpable anger towards the Milwaukee Bucks last night, not for what they did, but how they did it.
Yeah, I know I was speaking with several people in the bubble last night yesterday as we were doing the show. And that one person said, man, the Bucks really did us wrong. And that was because, Orlando took the, so how does Orlando look? They took the court ready to play. The Bucks like, we're not playing. And then Oklahoma City and Houston were there. It's like, okay, look, let's talk about this. Let's have these discussions and see that we could all be on the same page if we're going to make a stand as a league, as players, but Milwaukee probably felt the pressure, because the incident happened in Wisconsin,
no
and
question.
Milwaukee's from there. And then the Brewers as well, they canceled their game last night. So there was probably more pressure on the Bucks than there were on the Orlando Magic. But again, there was some bad feelings about the Bucks just doing that without anybody knowing.
Last night was touch and go there for a while. I was trying to stay off of social media just because it was kind of a long day for it yesterday, and I was trying to unplug and disconnect a little bit. But it was hard because I wanted updates from how the meeting was going, how it was being perceived. And in the moment, last night, it was not going well. And I know you've talked to many people who are in the bubble, and you've got kind of a firsthand account of how poorly it was going, how touch and go it really was. Now, ultimately, they decided to continue.
Yes.
And ultimately, they decided they will play. We don't know when. We know it's not tonight, maybe tomorrow, maybe not until Saturday. But eventually, at some point, they will resume. But it was touch and go there for a while, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was. And even today, I spoke with, players and coaches. And even today, I was told, there's still players that don't want to play. But they'll, if the majority says play, they'll play. Because they took a team vote. Milwaukee was the first team to vote. and they voted, yes, let's play. Eventually, they got to the Lakers and Clippers that said no. But what I was told is they really weren't taking into consideration that much, like Portland was going to be gone, Orlando's going to be gone. They were focusing on the main teams and what they wanted to do. And if they gave those teams that said no an opportunity to sleep on it and come back today and see if they changed their mind, because obviously it was a tense moment last night.
One thing that has become very, very clear from people who are inside the bubble, who are covering these teams, I mean, look, they've been there since July 8th, July 9th. Today is what, August 27th? So they've been there for a month and a half, coming up on 2 months. They haven't seen their friends. They haven't seen their family. They've been isolated. From what I understand, they've basically run out of things to do. All of the cool stuff that Disney set up for them to do inside the bubble, they've done it all. There's nothing left for them to do.
Sure.
And there is a little bit of stir craziness going on in there. There's a little bit of
how could it not be?
Cabin fever going on right now, which I'm sure, I mean, we saw the comments from Paul George the other night. Hey, I was in a dark place here in the bubble. I had to talk to the team psychiatrist. I had to talk to Doc. I had to talk to players just to kind of help get me through these are some dark times here in the bubble for me. And not everybody is handling being there the same way. And I think things will change a little bit when this first round is done. Because when this first round is done,
some teams will go home.
Will go home. You're down to eight teams. Yeah,
free up some of the hotel room. And
families get to come in.
Yeah.
Associates get to come. Not associates, but you know what I mean. Friends, family, people that make you feel like you're a little less isolated. But I
just got a text from the bubble that Saturday is when they're going to play.
Okay. I got to imagine that tension, that cabin fever, probably led to some of the angst last night. Probably led to some of the anger last night about the Bucks and about what they were going to do.
Sure. Yeah, you've got to short a fuse.
Absolutely.
I got to short a fuse.
Absolutely.
Listen, I mean, anybody that's working, like, I've been working from home for 5 months. I'll tell you right now, I got that cabin fever. I'm going stir crazy here. You know, after
and
a while.
And you can leave. You're allowed to leave.
I mean, I feel like, once my gym opened up, I've been starting to go to my gym. But yeah, I could leave. But for the most part, I am stuck in this house for a lot of the day, which I never was before.
But I mean, they're stuck.
They have a lot to do. You know, I mean, there's a lot of things that they could do. But after a while, you're right. I mean, I've done that. I don't want to do that. I mean,
how many times can you play cards? How many times can you go?
Yeah, and listen, I don't care how big your hotel room is. It's not your house.
Exactly.
Like, I don't care how big your room is in a hotel. I mean, it is not your house. And after a while, man, you want your own bed. You want your own shower.
Yeah.
You know, you want to go get your mail. You want your own refrigerator and your own freezer. You want your own blankie. I mean, you know, you just want that. So you want your dog. I miss my dog.
Your own blankie.
Yeah, just all of the stuff that's norm. You know, the norm that's in your life that you don't have. You could bring some of that stuff with you, but not a lot of it.
So you're saying Saturday is the expectation that things are going to start up again on Saturday?
I'm hearing Saturday, not Friday. Now, I don't know if that's out publicly, but that's what I've heard. I continue to hear that it'll be Saturday.
I haven't seen anything.
Not play tomorrow.
I just know there were more meetings today. There were two reps from each playoff team, and they met with Adam Silver, and they met with Michelle Roberts, the head of the Players Association, and they met with owners. And I know the players who are still there encouraged the owners to continue to help them on the front of social justice and doing whatever the players are trying to do, and the owners, you know, kind of recommitted themselves to helping out the players. So there were long meetings today, lots of discussions today. But after the meeting last night and after a chance to sleep on it, they did decide to stay. And so now what I'll be curious to see is on Saturday, is anything different? Or even tomorrow? Okay, I know they're not going to play in the NBA, but tomorrow in Major League Baseball, Is it different? Is it done? Has everybody who wanted to make a statement, they've made it, and now it's time to get back to the business of playing ball?
I mean,
is there still some lingering issues that need to be resolved tomorrow in Major League Baseball?
I would think that you go back to playing ball. I would think so too. But the next time an incident happens, like, do we think that this is the last time we're going to have an incident between a police officer and a black man in which, you know, there is the feeling of racial injustice? And I just don't, like, I don't know that this is it, that it'll we'll never have that again. So I think this is what the players are fighting for, change in the system, mm-hmm. to try to limit the amount of times this happens and things. But, you know, there's, I just don't, again, I don't know if this is going to come back up in 2 months or 3 months or 6 months, or if it's going to stop tomorrow, if they're going to go back and everything's going to be okay. These players feel like this is their time to be heard.
Yeah.
And they want to be heard. And that's why, you know, we are where we are today, and we're seeing the protests in the games and the games being canceled and postponed because the players, this is the strongest that they've ever been, and they want their voices to be heard.
Yeah, and Saturday, I'll just be curious to see from the NBA standpoint what if anything is different, or is it mostly the same? Speaking of the NBA, when we come back, the NBA is expected to resume their playoff schedule in the near future. Gambo says it's going to be on Saturday. Could this bubble have survived if LeBron James and other stars, but mostly LeBron James, decided to individually opt out? We'll try to answer that one coming up right here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Back here with you on the Burns and Gambo Show on this Thursday. Time for the Coors Light What's On Tonight. The games that we are going to watch this evening, brought to you by Coors Light. Sports is back. Head to Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers for draft specials and watch your team today. Normally, I would say D-backs baseball is what's on tonight, or NBA playoff basketball is what's on tonight. Obviously, neither one of those are on tonight, but there are still sports on tonight. You got Major League Baseball, Cincinnati, Milwaukee. They're in the top of the first. The Dodgers and the Giants, they're in the top of the fourth. That game is underway as well. So a few Major League Baseball games if you wanted to. But obviously, given the state of our profession and the state of sports, there isn't a ton to watch tonight. NHL, NBA, most of Major League Baseball. But if you go searching, you can find yourself some sports to watch tonight if you want.
I got to go out and get a card. Got the big anniversary tomorrow, so I got to hit the stores, Burnsy. Got to hit the stores.
For a card?
I got to get a card. Yeah.
You should hand make a card.
Hand make it?
Sure, absolutely. That's
you want me to hand make a card?
What a sweet gesture that would be.
Get some crayons and just color it?
Absolutely. It's your wedding anniversary, right?
Yes. Wow. Yes.
Okay. Well, congratulations. Congratulations on that tomorrow.
Yes,
how many years?
Well, I think we surpassed the over. So, you know, for all the people I made the bet that we wouldn't, it's...
I'm not going to tell you where I set that line, my friend.
I think you had it at 2.5, didn't you?
If I did, I wouldn't have told you.
Oh, did you set a line?
If I set a line...
Tell me the truth. Did you set a line?
No.
You liar!
No, I wouldn't have.
Liar.
That's cruel and mean, and I wouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have done that.
So tomorrow we'll do 4 years. I'll make sure.
4 years?
Four years, yeah. We've been together for 10, but we've been married for 4.
Today, I wasn't even aware of this. Today it was pointed out to me as actually my anniversary at the radio station.
22 years?
22 years.
Wow.
22 years ago, I was hired by this radio station.
Where were you before that?
I was at a country station.
Okay, so you went from the country station...
to unemployed for 2 months and then here.
Okay.
Yeah, 22 years ago.
22 years.
Yeah, I had no idea today was the anniversary.
How about
that?
Don't you usually get a card from Scott Sutherland?
I do.
Happy anniversary card.
We're not the office, you know? I mean, maybe I'll get one in the mail or something, but... today I got a message from somebody at the station that, hey, happy anniversary. I'm like, today's my anniversary? Yeah, 22 years, huh? Okay,
yeah. Cool. There's probably a card in your mailbox right now. You don't even know because you don't go in.
Probably. Yeah. So the NBA bubble, it's going to continue. You're hearing it's going to continue on Saturday. There was a real interesting dynamic at play. Call it the LeBron James effect. And there were some who were legitimately wondering if LeBron James had decided, no, I'm out, I'm not playing. Would the bubble have even been able to carry on?
It's a great question. I would tend to think that it would have. I just don't know if it would have had any meaning without the best player in the world playing.
That's a really good way of putting it. Like, would it have been? You could have played.
Yeah.
You could have had all the teams there. You could have played.
It's like the Olympics going on without the USA.
Mm-hmm.
Does it really matter if the United States isn't in it?
Right.
When we boycotted the Olympics?
Sure.
When Russia boycotted the Olympics? Like, okay, if you're not going to have the best, what's the meaning?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the Bucks won the championship. All right, did they really win it? The Clippers beat the Lakers in six games.
But did they really?
But yeah, they didn't have LeBron.
Sure.
And not because of an injury, right? Injury we take as part of the game. But for a guy that just decided I don't want to play anymore.
Yeah, and for some it even went, and I was reading a lot about this today, and for some it even went beyond just the basketball element of it. It just went to the clout of LeBron James, the leadership of LeBron James, the stature of LeBron James, and whether any of this would have been legit without him, which is why many people thought that the minute LeBron James and the Lakers walked out of that meeting last night, when it was getting, in your words, testy, based off of the reports that you were getting from what was going on there, when LeBron James walked out, that was probably the moment when everybody in the NBA went, oh, crap, this might not happen. If LeBron's walking out, and if LeBron decides to leave and the Lakers decide not to, well, then what are we going to do? And it was very noteworthy. I thought that this morning, many of the angles were centered around, hey, the Lakers met until the wee hours of the morning. And the Lakers got together and decided, okay, they're going to keep playing. It was all about the Lakers, i.e., it was all about LeBron. And what were they and what was he going to decide to do? Because upon that, it was like the ultimate, you're in the election, it's like the ultimate swing state, right?
Yes.
It's like the ultimate, all those
Pennsylvania,
all those electoral votes,
Florida,
in Florida or in
Ohio,
whatever other states we're talking about, that was LeBron. And
LeBron was a swing state
to win the, but
he was Florida.
He wasn't a swing state. He was the swing state.
Sure.
He was.
By himself.
He was the voters.
By himself?
Yes.
Without anybody else?
Swing state unto himself. You have to convince him. And if you convince him, you will win the election. And if you don't convince him, you will lose the election. It's probably an oversimplification, but not by much.
Yeah, LeBron could have said, I'm out. And they could have said, okay, you know, life goes on. We'll play. But again, what meaning would it have had if, and then, you know, if LeBron leaves, there's people that are faithful to LeBron. You know, would he have carried people with him out that door if he didn't want to go?
Right.
Could a player on another team said, LeBron's not playing, I'm not playing. This is ridiculous. I'm not gonna play.
And
forget about players on his own team. Could players on other teams have said, I'm not gonna play?
And conversely, oh, LeBron's in? Okay, I'm in. Oh, LeBron's gonna stay? Okay, I'll stay. Oh, LeBron's gonna suck it up and figure it out. Okay, I'll suck it up.
So
and
the
I'll
Suns
at
8-0 become the NBA champions by default. Best record in the bubble.
Yeah. Well, it's still, boy. Doesn't that seem
like a long time ago?
A long time ago.
Yeah.
You know, the simple joy of watching your team perform well in a situation like that.
And I really enjoyed that. I really enjoyed that 8-0 for the Suns. That was fun.
We'll get back there again. All right. We'll get back there again. These are complicated times. These are troubling times. These aren't always pleasant times. We'll get back there again. I don't know. Soon, at some point, we'll enjoy sport for the sheer spectacle of sport and not for everything else. But this is our life in 2020, and probably the sooner we accept that, the better, because this is the times they are changing, and I don't know if they're changing back anytime soon.
That is a song, and it would go very well in 2020, wouldn't it?
Yeah, the times they are changing, and that's just where we're headed. So we will see what tomorrow brings. I'm sure we'll have much more on all of this tomorrow in terms of what's going on in the NBA, Major League Baseball, the Diamondbacks, maybe even the National Football League, if we can get more clarity on that. In the meantime, we are out of here. The Big Red Rage is coming up next. We will see you tomorrow at 2 o'clock here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Have a great night, everyone.